everyone. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm excited to be in the studio talking about all things NFL draft, and that's where we're going to start today's episode. This morning on Cincinnati.com and the Inquirer app, I dropped my one and only mock draft. I did a three-round mock draft where I try to predict what the Bengals could do with their first three picks, day one and day two. And that is out, and we're going to talk about it right now. And I'm going to have some fun with this conversation. One of the reasons I love the draft so much is that there's so many different opinions. And you could talk to five different people who all watched the same tape of the same player, and they all come away with different opinions on everyone. And I love hearing the different opinions. I love the debates. I can't get enough of the NFL draft, and I'm looking forward to seeing who the Bengals select on Thursday night. So without further ado, I'm going to talk about where I went on Thursday night with the Bengals pick at number 17. I wrestled with this one for a while. I like to only do one mock draft because I like to spend time talking to people around the NFL, doing my research, and really honing in on a couple of different guys and making my selection from there, as opposed to sometimes I think the mock draft landscape can get a little bit oversaturated and people have different needs that they are asked to do more mock drafts. And that's no disrespect to anyone who does multiple mock drafts. My preference and my style is to do one because it could be completely wrong, but I do spend a lot of time talking to people and trying to research and trying to get as best of an educated guess as I can. And when I started having conversations, I was really stuck on three different directions I thought that the Bengals could go. And it was all prospect driven with some need in there. But I started my conversations thinking that Jahad Campbell, the Alabama linebacker, was going to be the pick for the Bengals. And he very well could be. But I have a feeling he's going to go and be off the board before pick 17. Mel Kiper has had him at one point mocked to the Bengals, I think two times in a row. He's been a popular selection for the Bengals for the fact that he's a really good player. And two, the Bengals have a major need at linebacker. Jermaine Pratt requested a trade, and when asked about his future, the Bengals have stayed mum about the situation. And all signs point to that if the Bengals are, in fact, able to draft a linebacker they feel really good about, they then would move on from Pratt. But they can't make that decision yet until they know what that linebacker room is going to look like. So Campbell makes a ton of sense. And Al Golden, the Bengals' new defensive coordinator, was a linebackers coach for the Bengals when he was here in 2021. And so I have a feeling he is looking at the linebackers room and saying, okay, I think we need more here. And that's been the case the last 2 years. Logan Wilson's injuries have slowed him down the last couple of years. But overall, that group just lacks speed and playmakers and that dog mentality that you need, that hard-hitting linebacker that you know just means business. And you talk about the AFC North and it being a division that's predicated on teams that play tough, physical. You need that linebacker to be able to bring that physicality to your defense. And I think the Bengals are missing that. And I think that if you could pair Jahad Campbell with Logan Wilson, that's a nice pairing. They do different things, but I think Campbell could do a lot for the Bengals. I think Al Golden would be able to utilize him brilliantly. I think that's a perfect case of a pairing of a coach and a player that just makes sense. Golden would have a vision for him. He would know how to best use him. And although Campbell's a linebacker, they could use him in some pass rush settings. He's capable blitzer. And so it gives the Bengals a really dynamic player on defense, and two, it gives them options at multiple different levels. And I think you couldn't go wrong with that pick. So that's where I started. But as I said, I think he's going to go off the board before the Bengals get on the clock. Because if he was there at pick 17, I'd have a hard time wrestling with him and the guy that I ended up picking, but I'm going to get to him last. So I went from being pretty strong on Campbell to I was very swayed that Derek Harmon was going to be the right choice for the Bengals and who they would pick. And they 100% can take all of these guys. We don't know what they're going to do, but I thought Harmon 100% it was going to be there. Makes so much sense. Love the prospect. But the more I talk to people around the league, the less I heard about him being set a pick worthy of 17. And that's where I talk about, you know, people have different grades and they can place them all over. But I heard from a couple of different people that 17 might be a little bit too rich for Harmon. So that kind of changed my thinking. If the Bengals do, in fact, take Derek Harmon, I think it will be a great pick for them. He checks so many boxes. They need a pass rushing D tackle. They've needed it for years now. If they're able to get Derek Harmon, that solidifies your defensive tackle room for the next couple of years because you have two young players in Chris Jenkins and McKinley Jackson and Harmon, and then you have TJ Slayton. That group that was, in my opinion, the Achilles heel of the Bengals last year looks so much better. I've talked about it on this podcast multiple times with different draft analysts. They say he is a disruptive force in the middle. You know what you're going to get from him. There are no character concerns. That pick for the Bengals, I would have no issues with and think it could be a really good pick for the Bengals. So I was pretty high on Harmon last week. But then I settled in on who I thought this week, my pick, when I'm on the clock making this selection for the Bengals, is, and when I talk to people around the league that have studied the defensive line position, the name that I heard more than anyone was who I ended up choosing, and that is Mykel Williams, the edge rusher out of Georgia. And what I heard about him, to me, ended up being a slam dunk for the Bengals in terms of what they need right now. Mykel Williams is tough. He's physical. That's one of the most common terms I heard used when describing Williams' play from people who have studied his tape, is that he's physical and they love his playing style. He played through an injury last year. He injured his ankle, and that certainly had a role in his limited production. But when I put scenarios out there, whether it be Harmon, Campbell, Shamar Stewart, Walter Nolan, all up against Mykel Williams multiple times, the winner was Mykel Williams. And then I started thinking about why that pick could just be a great selection. The Bengals, the more that I look at their depth chart and listen to Duke Tobin talk, he did his pre-draft press conference this past week. I think they internally feel good about their D-tackle position. Tobin said, yeah, of course, you know, they're always looking to add pass rush internally, but I get the sense that they think McKinley Jackson and Chris Jenkins are going to take a step. And obviously Slayton fills that nose tackle room. So I don't think that they're looking at D tackle as a big of a need as some of us people outside the building view it as. So that to me kind of changed where I was headed with Harmon and even Walter Nolan being someone I was really high on. Edge to me, the more I look at it, is the biggest need for this team. And I know you could say guard is, but the reason I say edge is because when you look at where the Bengals are at with guards, if they had to play a game tomorrow, they would at least have players with Cody Ford, Cordell Volson, and Lucas Patrick who are veterans, who they might not be your first option, but you could win games with those guys protecting Joe Burrow. They know the system. They are capable players, and they're all going to compete for the job. But when you look at edge, we do not know at this point who the Bengals edge number two is going to be. Is it going to be Miles Murphy? Is he going to finally beat out Joseph Osai for that role? Or is Osai going to beat him out? We don't know. They're expecting Cedric Johnson to, you know, take a leap in his second year. We don't know what Cam Sample is going to look like coming off that injury. There are too many unknowns at an absolutely critical position that the Bengals struggled so much in last year. Trey Hendrickson accounted for 17.5 sacks of the Bengals 36 last year. It is way too imbalanced on that defensive line in terms of sacks and pass rush. And they have got to come away, in my opinion, in this draft with an edge rusher who can rush opposite of Hendrickson and really be a force. And if you add that, plus you have Miles Murphy and Osai, that looks a lot better to me, because then, you know, if you get great production from either one of those two, that's just a bonus. And then you have a nice little rotation between your four main edge rushers. But if you're not able to get any production from Osai and Murphy, you at least know you have this player in a draft class that's loaded at edge rusher right in the middle of that draft. If you look at mock drafts, you'll see at least 3 to 4 guys that could all come off the board between pick 14 to pick 24. And that's why I think the Bengals are in a great position to acquire a defensive stud in this draft. So that's kind of my thought process. The other thing with Mykel Williams and what I heard in talking to people about his game specifically is that in addition to his physical style of play and his ability to rush the passer, he's really good against the run. And I think that's important because the Bengals lost Sam Hubbard. He retired, and Sam Hubbard was their best run defending edge rusher. And he played a significant role. And that's why when he was injured and didn't get back to the level he was at, the Bengals defense suffered. Williams is really good against the run from the people that I talked to that evaluated his game. So you get a player who you don't have to take off the field on rundowns like you do in some aspects with Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson is a bona fide, pin his ears back, rush the passer, but you can critique his performance in the run game to some degree. Williams gives you a lot in both areas, and that's why, to me, if he's on the board because of that fact, I think he'd be a great pick for the Bengals. He doesn't have any character issues. He comes from a winning program. The Bengals hit the jackpot with Amarius Mims coming out of Georgia last year. Why not go back into that well and take Mykel Williams if he's there? I think that there's a possibility that Mykel Williams is going to be there for the Bengals with Shamar Stewart, the Texas A&M edge rusher, who has all of the physical traits that project to be what a really good edge rusher needs in the NFL, but just not enough sacks, under 5 sacks his entire college career. That makes it a hard gamble. There's also James Pierce, but he's got some character concerns. There is Mike Green. We don't know where he's going to fall. The Marshall edge rusher, who had a ton of production at Marshall, but he's a little bit smaller and he also has some character concerns. So there are, you know, 3 edge rushers that could be available to the Bengals. And when I look at that, Williams is the one that you don't have any questions about. The questions that you do have are what was behind his limited production from last year, some pundits say. I'd be willing to take a bet on a player who has good character, loves football, would fit well in a division that's all about physicality, who can rush the passer. I think that's a mold that would be great for the Bengals. And so that's why I went with Mykel Williams with my pick at number 17. All right. So let's move on to round 2. And this one is the one, I don't think Mykel Williams in round 1 is going to surprise a lot of people, because most mock drafts have the Bengals addressing the edge position at some point. But most popular has been the Bengals addressed guard in round 2. And I thought about it, and I went with a player, and this is a situation where you take the best player available on your board instead of reaching. And The Bengals could have guards ahead of this player that they like, and they very well could take a round two guard. But this one, to me, was a no-brainer, way too hard for them to pass up, and that is taking Xavier Watts, the safety out of Notre Dame, and reuniting him with defensive coordinator Al Golden in the second round. The other reason I'm comfortable doing that is in talking to league sources, there is a guard that I think could be available to the Bengals in the third round that could be really good, and we'll get to him in a little bit. But Watts, to me, would be a fantastic pick in the second round for the Bengals because safety is a position that has been in flux the last couple of years. And wouldn't it be nice for the Bengals to hit on a safety and know that they're going to have at least one safety that they feel great about for the next 4 years? And you'd get that with Watts. In addition to having a player who is a certified ball hawk, if there's one thing Watts does, it's take the ball away. He had 13 interceptions in the last two seasons, more than any other player at his position at the FBS level. And if there's one thing that the Bengals need more of in the secondary, it's better tackling and more interceptions. They haven't been great the last 2 years at taking the ball away. And when you think about when the Bengals defense was really strong, when they went to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship, it was their opportunistic style of play where you had Jesse Bates, Von Bell, those guys taking the ball away to give more opportunities to Joe Burrow to get the ball back. So Watts, to me, he does that great. He knows Al Golden's system inside and out from having played for him at Notre Dame. He meets all of your check marks in terms of what you need in a dynamic safety. I know that, you know, people can pick apart, you know, his game to some degree, but I look at it as this: you don't have 13 interceptions if you don't have great instincts. And instincts are sometimes something that you can't coach in someone. And so if you have a player that you know has great instincts, you've coached him, you know what he's made of, to me, that would be really hard to pass up. So I go with the Bengals taking Xavier Watts in round two. And I think that would be a huge get for them. And it then takes some heat off of Geno Stone and Jordan Battle to 100% start. They can battle it out for the position opposite of Watts. And I think that would be a much better situation for the Bengals. So let's move on to round three. And this is where I address the offensive line. Don't worry, I didn't go all three picks without addressing the guard spot. There were two players that when I talked to people around the league that I asked about, and I was very specific when I asked about offensive linemen, because what I've learned in covering the Bengals for the last couple of years is that not every offensive lineman is a fit in Cincinnati because of the style that they play. Joe Burrow wants to drop back. He dropped back more than any quarterback last year, and it wasn't even close. It was by a lot. The Bengals are going to drop Joe back between 40 to 50 times a game, most of the time. That's where they view is their bread and butter. That's where they think that they're best at. And it's hard to argue against it. But that means they need a certain style of offensive lineman who is comfortable in that role. And so when I asked that, there was a player who came up often, and that is Dylan Fairchild out of Georgia. And the more you dig into his background, it seems like a fantastic pick for the Bengals, because of a lot of reasons. He played with Amarius Mims at Georgia. There's familiarity there. And chemistry along the offensive line is really important. Mims has familiarity with him, can speak to his character. I'm sure the Bengals front office has probably picked Mims's brain about a couple of the Georgia players. Why would you not do that? But Fairchild has a wrestling background, which I think is unique because of the change that the Bengals made at their offensive line coach, Scott Peters. He brings a unique and different approach to the offensive line. And one thing you know about wrestlers is they're tough. I've heard that Fairchild is a fantastic character kid. He's very much viewed as on the rise. The biggest knock about Fairchild is lack of experience, but most evaluators say he's got the physical tools and the character makeup to be a really good player on the offensive line. And when you look at some of the Bengals' hits on the offensive line, most of them being in free agency, with Mims recently being their success there in the draft last year, when you've got these good offensive linemen, a lot of it has to do with their character. Do they love football? Are they that, you know, tough, physical offensive lineman who wants to run you over to protect Joe Burrow? I think of like how successful Ted Karras has been, and Fairchild reminds me of him to some degree, not from a physical skill set and style, but a character makeup where you just hear nothing but the kid just loves football. He just wants to be great. It's really important to him. And I think if you can bring someone like that in, you put him next to Mims at right guard. I mean, you're bringing in someone who came from a pro level college program at Georgia, which has proven to be, I mean, the Bulldogs have produced so many quality players in the NFL. I think Fairchild would be great for the Bengals in his, all of the things that he does really well. He played in all 28 games and he was battling some injuries at time. He's another one similar to Mykel Williams where them playing through injury shows they love football, and that's important. So I think that all of those things together just make that pick really solid for the Bengals. And I've heard that he is going to rise in this draft because I've heard the offensive line depth isn't great in this draft. So the teams that need a guard or an interior offensive lineman are going to, I think they're going to fly off the board early. So it'll be interesting to see if the Bengals address guard in the second round, knowing that we'll see what they could do there. But those are my three picks. And I think that if the Bengals came away with two of these three players, it would be a slam dunk. But majority of where I focused this draft on was fixing the defense, because I think for the last 2 years, the Bengals defense has underperformed and just lacked playmakers. And I think that if they could get Mykel Williams and Xavier Watts, you're walking away with two really good players that immediately upgrade your defense. And you're showing your team and your fan base that you are committed to fixing the defensive side of the ball. Duke Tobin was asked in his pre-draft press conference, with so much money allocated to the offensive side of the ball, what's the realistic expectation for the defense? And he said defense is just as important to them as offense. And while there can be imbalance with the pay on one side, that makes it just as much more important to hit on your defensive draft picks. I mean, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a perfect example of that. They have a lot of offensive players making a ton of money. And part of the reason they've been able to make the run that they have the last couple of years is they've really hit on their defensive draft picks. And that's the model that I think that the Bengals need to take to continue to try and be a contender in the AFC. And I think that these three picks, who knows, they could have these guys in a completely different ranking than me. But that's what makes mock drafts so fun. And so that's where my head was at heading into this draft. And we will see where it all goes. All right, that is it for some explanation on my mock draft. Be sure to check it out. And over the weekend, we'll have you covered with all of the Bengals draft moves. We'll be there all weekend hearing from the prospects, who the Bengals end up drafting, Zach Taylor, and several coaches throughout the weekend. So be sure to keep it here throughout the weekend for all your news on the Cincinnati Bengals.